Wrong one.
Tom Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and bees, this is the ESE Podcast, part two this week. We're back at it again. More Eat Sleep Elite, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. This is your second, I guess this is your bi-weekly, or your whatever the term would be for that. You're twice a weekly this week? Whatever, you're getting three episodes this week. Lock the fuck in. Anyway, as always, since we have a double show this week, we will be hitting our AEW Wrestle Dream predictions at the end. Weirdly, we probably could have gotten away with doing it last week because I don't think they had anything, Charlie. I don't believe. If anything, it was like a random match. Was Jamie versus Tekla on there? I might have been.
Yeah.
If anything, they added a match. Okay.
Yeah. Look, or like a Mercedes appearance. Worst. That might be it.
It's literally like a match and Mercedes being on the show, which, I mean, you know, hey. But that being said, you know, we'll get into all that stuff later on. We always obviously like to start off the show with our favorites. But I mean, I guess just before we get into all that, I mean, are we still liking these Dynamite Collision combined 3-hour shows on the weeks where we're going to have Saturday pay-per-view? Like, is it working better than when we would do like an hour collision or like a 2-hour collision on the same time as the pay-per-view? Like, I think it's working better than that at least.
Yeah, I'll take this any day over that, because I need wrestling pay-per-views on Saturday more than anything. I don't like them on Sunday. I don't know why. That just
because
knowing
of football, be honest.
No, dude, it's that knowing it's midnight on a Sunday, basically Monday, it's like, oh my god, gotta wake up early already. It's fucking bastards. There's always something different about it being Saturday and knowing you still have that. I don't know. It's just,
it's brutal for me because I work some Saturdays, like for example,
yeah, pay-per-views
this week,
just
so
belong on Saturday. So I'll take it every day of the week. But I mean, yeah, like you said, it's the 3-hour thing. I'm digging it. 3 hours and how they did it, plus the 1-hour like countdown show. It's very digestible compared to 4 hours.
Does this make
straight
you believe that if we get that 3rd hour on Dynamite, this will be fine? You know, it'll just be an extra hour for Dynamite to cook.
Yeah. And if that's something they did even once a month or whatever, again, I still think it would be fine.
Fair enough. Well, that being said, buddy, you got the ball here first. We got the favorites, and yeah, you picked a pretty fun match this time. So take us away there, McChiefle.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take.
By the way, I'm Bane Duke, and this is Charlie. By the way, in case I didn't say that.
Hello. We'll take a trip to Dynamite, if you will, and we will go to Jamie Hayter versus Sky Blue.
Charlie also knows the Shambolic Wookiee.
Yeah, I was really excited for this match. I was, you know, they announced it, and when we were talking about the preview on Tuesday, I was like, damn, that sounds like might actually be really fucking good. I gotta tell you, they gave him a really good amount of time. I thought Sky Blue took some nasty bumps. Jamie looked really dominant, but also wasn't like overbearing the opponent to the point of, you know, Sky just was quite literally just there. No, she let Sky get her shit in, and I thought that was really good. So Jamie Hayter she's bringing back that, I don't know, that rhythm, if you will, to her matches where she's just beating the opponent down, but it's at such a consistent pace that it's just so enjoyable to watch. And I just really loved it. And I think this, you know, I'm more excited for the Jamie Hayter versus Tekla match now on Wrestle Dream. Somehow, I was really excited before, but we get this performance, and I'm like, all right, let's go, let's fucking get it. So, yeah, I just think Sky Blue's come a long way, and it's a match like this where you're like, you know, just a random singles match against one of the top stars, and Sky looks like she belongs. It feels like just yesterday, sometimes she was the brand new, you know, the new prospect, the new rookie, if you will. And here she is, fully integrated in the roster. She's got her group. She might be a tag team champion soon. She might be a world champion soon, for all we know. But yeah, I really enjoyed this match. And Duke, I think Jamie Hayter's fully back on track. I think they're done fucking around. So
fucking how many times have we said that this year, though? Like, you know,
yeah,
like
what that means with, you know, Statlander, right? I don't know. But this was really good. This was needed to.
I mean, that's still a marquee match for that.
Let's start
world
showing
title.
Off Jamie Hayter again because she's that good. So, yeah, what'd you think of this? And I guess just post that match, Tekla came around and did her thing. So,
yeah, Tekla on the Contron. So I will say this. I really, like, didn't love the beginning of this match. I was sort of not into it at first. I was just like, okay, I like both people, but, like, what the fuck? And then it kind of started to really pick up toward the middle. And it really started to.
Especially when they got to the outside.
Oh, yeah. Like, once they started hitting, like, big slams and shit. Like, there was one move that fucking Sky just sold like she just got shot. Like, it was crazy. She's doing her, like, evil girl era right now, basically, you know, with this whole I'm evil and evil for the sake of evil thing. Hater's still hitting hard. Did some good stuff. Ultimately, Hayter obviously says, as you said, picked up the win here. I Tekla, pretty good promo here. I don't know, something about this segment. I literally, my sentiment was just like, I liked the match, but like, I don't know. I something about it at the beginning was just like a little bit off to me. I'm not sure what it was, but I did really like the match. It's not like I didn't
maybe
like
it's
it
the
anything,
fact
you know?
That they took the beginning of the match was kind of setting up the match. They didn't just jump straight into it. So. It was like a feeling out process, like it was a pay-per-view. Maybe we just was not expecting that.
Yeah, no, I mean, straight up, it might have just been like...
I mean, when
like...
was the last time we can recall, especially in the women's division, where they have a feeling out process on a Dynamite match?
Even in a pay-per-view, sometimes it's kind of rare, yeah. You know, like... So sometimes
like, usually
the
they just
kind of
like,
matches.
All right, you got your cues, 9 minutes, let's fucking go.
Yes.
But no, they spent their time, only one commercial break, too.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not complaining. I'm just, I was not expecting it. And so, like, it came across weird. Plus, I was, you know, it's been a bit packed this week. All right. There's been a lot going on. So sometimes the stuff's just not going to hit the same way. And it would necessarily
would.
So
this is their
third
time wrestling. It looks like they last had a match on Dynamite 162 in 2022. So a long time ago where Jamie was out there with Britt Baker and Rebel and Sky Blue was with Toni Storm.
You know, it might just be that in my head going into this match, I mean, obviously Jamie's on the tick back up now, we're probably thinking, but like in my head, I'm just like, I don't think either of these girls are really doing anything right now. I mean, you know, Sky's like a side piece and this other stuff going on, and Jamie is kind of just orbiting this, you know, thing with the triangle right now, you know, with
yeah,
the blood
I mean,
guts
this is
on
three,
the horizon.
She's had three
you know?
Matches now since that pay-per-view where she's fully locked in. That being said, when we get to our predictions in a little bit, I don't know if she beats Tekla. It's very hard, but Jamie's beating the shit out of the group, so does she have to beat Tekla too? I don't know.
It's also like, do you want to position the triangle as losing everything going into Blood and Guts, you know? And also the tag tournament, you know? Yeah. So it's like...
But then, and then you circle, think, you know what, you circle back around to are we wasting Jamie?
I don't see either of these groups currently having a trajectory toward either of those things, and it's kind of tweaking me a little bit, I think, is what I'm kind of struggling with. Because, like, they have to wrap this up, and they also have to set up those stories to set up that, those either the tournament or the Blood and Guts. And it's like, okay, and then it's the question of this. Because, like, Blood and Guts, does that happen before, after the tournament? What does that look like? You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm looking for the vision right now. We'll get there. Tony Khan's been doing great with this women's division this year. So I'm a little, to take a quote from Adam Page, I have never been more confused in my life.
Damn it. What'd you have for us for your favorite this week?
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, I had, the final face-to-face in a fucking, like, prison fucking, like, meeting with your fucking, like, visitors room.
Yeah,
like,
I took it as Darby Allin was in jail.
Yes, no, I took it as they did the thing that I said that they should do, is Darby pulling out the Molotov cocktail finally got him arrested, and praying to God that his entrance at the pay-per-view is the Sting hallway scene. Please do it for me, AEW. Oh my God, can you imagine if I fucking spawned that into existence, dude? Because I don't care. At that point, if they do it, they definitely heard me. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way they didn't, right? Like, unless it's just that good of an idea, you know? Like, imagine I'm just in Tony Khan's brain. I hacked it. I hacked the TK brain.
You've become the Contron.
Maybe they need to hire me to be the actual, like, Brian can handle the matches part, but I'll fucking put together the cards, man. He can figure it out from there. I know Brian will figure it out. He's my guy. And he knows I'm his guy, so, you know, hey. But yeah, no, this is fucking great stuff, dude. Just fucking, I mean, first of all, John hits him with this, Darby, it's never too late to join the right side of history. And Darby doesn't say, fuck you, I want you to die. He says, You're right, John. It's not too late, but I feel like it is. It's past that point. There's not a day that I go that goes by that I don't think about joining the Death Riders. Excuse me, Darby? You think about what now? They're the devil. Okay. I'm just saying from like a storyline perspective. That's shocking information for the audience, right? I feel like, you know, Darby having anything in common with these guys after what they did to Brian. And that's, of course, what he says. You know, after what I saw you do to Brian, how can I go to war with a guy that I know can stab me in the back? Fucking Darby Allin, dude. And then fucking I thought, OK, wow, this is already like, well, I'm already thinking, oh, this is already promo segment of the year. And then Charlie, John Moxley comes back again and says, Darby, you know. Well, also, by the way, I want to jump back to the beginning of this where they're like, John's like, Darby, how is this going to end? You know, I'm not going to quit. I know you're not going to quit. So what do you want, basically? And then it kind of ties back into this thing later. He's like, you know, I don't even have to beat you at this pay-per-view because you're not fighting me. You're never fighting the other person across the ring. Just like when you're climbing a mountain or jumping off of a building with a skateboard or whatever else you're doing, all the extreme shit that Darby does is he's not fighting to, like, you know, win something. He's trying to fucking kill himself, basically. What a fucking line from John Moxley, you know? That he's not trying to fight and trying to do all these crazy things because he's chasing the ghosts of his past. You know what I mean?
So good.
Fucking John Moxley. I mean, you know, we bitch about the fucking meandering promos. When he locks the fuck in, there is nobody better, dude. Like, it's incredible, you know, like. And then Darby gets attacked from behind in the prison cell room by Pac, which, you know, I'm just assuming Pac's like a fucking, you know, wizard at this point or something, you know, whatever it is. But, like, what a, I mean, first of all, your thoughts on this segment. It's my favorite promo segment of the year. I'm locking it in. It's getting the award. I don't give a fuck. Nothing's topping this for me. If something does, I cannot wait to put it in that spot. But my God, dude, I mean, for a fucking, like, the fifth match these two guys have had too, just, you know, and I wonder if this will be the last one then because of how great this was. Like, where do you go from here, you know? But my God, if John Moxley didn't peak here. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought they gave off some just really good levels to this promo. You know, Darby, God, he's getting to these points with these characters. And it times out later on in the night, you know, ultimately with the flag from Everest and stuff like that. But I feel like it's all correlated into this where he's broken out of prison, if you will, or when Pac, I mean, honestly, gives him one of the most brutal backstage beatings we've seen in a while. Much better than the shit that Moxley was doing when he had the title, which is just so funny, right? Because this felt like an actual beating, and maybe it's because Darby's willing to go to that level, right? So,
it's funny, too. I wonder if we were kind of wondering, like, post the Hangman being not in on the chase anymore, if you will, him having a title now and having to defend it and do those storylines. I guess we didn't really speculate, but AEW's always done this. Even before Swerve was champion, Joe was champion, and MJF was champion, we had Swerve running around doing solo stuff, and he would have, like, the stuff with Nick Wayne and the stuff, various, you know, and with Adam Page, the visceral sort of singles feuds. And we didn't know, I guess, when we never asked the question, who's going to be the next that? Do you know what it is? It's this fucking feud, dude. This is where they put that next level, where all the cinematography and all the fucking different backstage segments and all this cool shit, that's where it all went. And it makes complete fucking sense to put it there, because this feud kind of needed it a little bit, if you're being honest. It needed that injection a little bit, because it wasn't dead. It's just we didn't have a reason to keep doing it other than that it's really good, the matches. But, like, this added that flavor. See, this is how I know TK knows exactly what the fuck he's doing, because he took that energy that he had from those matches and transferred it into this, and I guarantee it goes into something. Maybe it'll go straight into Blood and Guts after this, you know?
Yeah, and I do think there was, like, that, like a really good Batman and Joker type shot too, with just, you know, the reflections in the glass and how beautiful that looked. Yeah, this was done with care and with effort, and ultimately I think it's the thing I care the most about on this pay-per-view. I think when I really think about what I'm looking forward to the most this weekend, I do believe it's this now.
I think that's been true for most of the time leading up to this, too. Because they said this is the first thing on the pay-per-view. As soon as we launched in the last month, he challenged him immediately. And so that's been the tone. And maybe, does this need the main event at this point?
Maybe. And, you know, we tossed out that little that little nugget, if you will, on Tuesday about what if this was for the championship? And then we see what happens this week and we get to this segment. And I'm just thinking, could you imagine if Darby was chasing for the world championship and how they're doing this and how we did the flag and how we did all of this stuff? And yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, I think it was supposed to be. I really fucking do.
Yeah.
I'm starting to, and I don't know if we'll ever get, you know, word about what happened here or what, but with how Hangman stuff is getting booked, and we'll get more of it on Dynamite, right? You know, some good, some bad this week again. But with how Hangman's title reign has been booked, which felt like clear no direction, to getting this, maybe Darby was supposed to be back earlier. Maybe Darby was supposed to be the one to dethrone him. Because in a way, it still feels like Darby is fighting for AEW, right?
Yeah, and it's working weird. So it's well. Like it's okay, and this is gonna sound fucking so bad, but it just hit me. What basically this means is the only reason that Hangman fought the Death Riders was to get that world title, and now he doesn't give a fuck what they do. I mean, yeah, he'll say stuff, but what is he doing actively to stop them? It's not like AEW suddenly having an attack on it.
Maybe
like
they did the thing Riders. After and had him immediately fight Mox again. It's because now he put him in the past, right? But I just don't know,
but
man.
At the same time, you could still say the same thing. Just, and then he fought him again, and that was enough for him, and he doesn't need to fight the Death Riders anymore. I mean,
let's toss it out there to anyone else, though. If you are thinking the same thing, I mean, do you think with how this has been, was Darby supposed to go for this title doing nearly this exact same thing? Or are we reading too much into it? Maybe it's just, you know, Darby is kind of, you know, he's an AEW pillar, right? So he'll always represent the company about what he wants to go after.
Didn't Darby literally come out after his feud with Mox and say, like, yeah, I don't need the world title, basically, to feel fulfilled? And it's like, I mean, if that's the way the guy feels, maybe we don't need to put it on him then, you know? Like, if he thinks he does his best work without the championship, or with a TNT-type championship or something like that, you know? I mean, if that's where he thinks he's doing his best work, I mean, why would you stand in the guy's way, you know? Like, I mean...
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're the one calling the shots...
Yeah, if you want him to be the world title, you can
Darby
obviously
needs
like
to hold the world title one day.
I agree, but I mean,
Jeff
Darby
Hardy
might not
needed
see
to
it
hold the
way.
World title one day. I would argue it's as important for Darby with this generation of wrestlers for him to hold the world title. Because what if
I never
is...
considered Jeff a world championship candidate, but you know he probably would have at
but
some point.
But he had to.
No, he would have at some point. It would have been like, especially after CM Punk, he definitely would have. Yep. But you know, he fucked that all up. You know, so.
Yeah, so really, I mean, outstanding promo segment. Again, they did tie in the Comic-Con thing, which was important. They showed a couple things from last week's Collision on this episode. So
yeah, they showed one thing a couple of times, which I'm for, but I mean, you
know. I guess that's something we'll have to keep note on. Maybe that stuff like that does slightly worry me because, you know, I always think of, you know, 2012 SmackDown and Raw, and it's like, oh, God.
Don't repeat the same things too many times unless it's hella relevant to what's going on.
Yeah.
Which
but
in this case
beat,
it was,
same exact
but it felt,
segments. Like,
it felt
yeah,
like,
the Comic Con thing was fine. The Don Callis thing later, beat for beat, same exact thing. Don't know.
But, even if you're going to show the same segment again, just use different footage. That was kind of the issue. Yeah. It literally made my brain go, oh yeah, I saw this earlier. You know, like,
yeah, no need for that. Well, we got a little bit of news today.
It just been a misfire on the board.
Some good,
honestly.
Some bad, some what the fuck. Let's start with some good, which this was touched on during Dynamite slightly, but. Just to officially put it out there, Mercedes Moné has filed for a new trademark under the name Ultimo Moné. So she's been getting a lot of comparisons to how Ultimo Dragon held like 10 championships in wrestling in the mid-1990s. So now she can do shirts, you know, hats, bandanas, everything. She can do everything she wants with this.
I don't want to speak out of turn. I'm very confident that she reached out to that family. You know?
I bet.
I would be shocked if she didn't, you know. Ultimo Dragon might still be alive. I'm not saying he's dead. I'm saying, like, to Dragon, to the family, whoever she would have to contact, she definitely did. Because, A, Mercedes is a class act, and B, why would you not want someone who is living up to your legacy and probably nobody anytime soon is ever going to be, like, on that level again, you know, like, you know, why not, you know, why wouldn't they? And maybe if they didn't want it to be, but it's not, she's not disrespecting anything. She's literally just going out there and being like, yeah. I'm like Ultimo Dragon. Look at me, you know, like crazy, you know.
IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Konosuke Takeshita is returning to DDT Pro Wrestling next month for the first time since winning the title. He will make special appearances November 6th, 8th, and 9th. And he will make his first title defense against Hirooki Goto on November 2nd at a New Japan Pro Wrestling show. So, yeah, he's going
to
be in
Tokyo. A little bit to want to be chilling in Japan and go back to DDT, show everybody what he accomplished. You know what I mean? Like, that's got to be a cool moment for him getting to go back to where all of it started for him.
And I mean, technically under the three contracts, right? So,
yes. And also, I mean, he's got the biggest title in Japan now. He's got to want to go back and just celebrate with some of his old boys, right? You know, like, so, you know, I'm just saying, I would want to. I want to be like, come on, guys, we're going. I'm paying for everybody to go have fucking, you know, if they drink drinks or just food, you know, like.
Yeah, smoke.
Taking the DDT execs out for a dinner, probably. You know what I mean? I mean, like, thank you for my career, you know, like all that. I would be. Kinosuke seems like a class act. You know, he's a heel, but he seems like a really good guy that just loves fucking pro wrestling. You know, like, so he's gonna treat his friends, I suspect. You know, like.
Well, we got a little bit of an update on Kota Ibushi.
Oh.
And it sounds like he wrote on social media that doctors will give him a lengthy recovering time, and he believes it'll be 2 years before he can even step into a wrestling ring.
What?
Yeah, he's going to have to learn how to walk again. Kota Ibushi will be 45.
I don't
want to
be an asshole. Is he just done then? Because he's fucking 45.
He is definitely done full-time wrestling. There's no way around that.
When he
comes
back, hey, here's the good thing. He comes back, he'll be 47. AJ Styles will be like 55 probably. You know, like, fuck it. Run that match then. We're never going to get another chance. You know?
Roll it. Let's do it.
That's assuming AJ ever even comes to AEW. Fuck.
But Kota's got a long recovery process, and, you know,
that
I don't know.
Sucks,
I don't know
man.
How often we're going to be able to mention him on the show anymore going forward, because I'm assuming he's going to dip out of the limelight, but all we can do is wish the best for him, because that's going to be a long, long road to recovery.
That's like a career killer, dude. Like, that's tough. Like,
yeah, you just feel bad for Kota.
Especially because of how bad the last one was. He was off for a similar amount of time before because of the two fucking broken legs, you know? Like,
I mean, arguably, he won the IWGP. He was the inaugural champion of the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Got injured and has just been out of luck ever since. I mean, it's been a brutal 5 years, and now he's looking at 7 years. So,
look, he did the New Japan style for a long ass time, dude. Like, that shit wears your body down. Look at fucking any of the top guys that have been doing it for the only one that I can think that's been doing it for like a decade plus that's body is not destroyed is like Okada. And I think that's because he didn't wrestle every fucking week, you know, like, so you know, Ibushi just fucking wore his body down, man. Like, that's the only thing you could say.
Yeah. It's
otherwise, it's just a really unlucky freak injuries that are just stacked up, which that's just unfortunate if that's the case. And it's like, that doesn't even become it's dangerous. It's like, no, like, you might just not want to deal with that long recovery process anymore after getting back in for one night. If I'm Ibushi, I don't know that I'd want to deal with that no matter how much I love this business, because I mean, I'm getting taken away from it anyway. And the recovery, maybe he's used that as like the part of the deal, but like, Jesus, fuck, 2 years, dude.
It's really brutal.
Got him back after what feels like 2 years for one match, and he's gone for 2 years again. Fucking Christ.
So, it's kind of the sad of the day. Now we got a little bit of speculation plus what the fuck after. Here we have what normally would kind of just be a nothing fart burger. Chris Jericho announces talent for the 2026 cruise. Well, if you guys have been kind of following little rumblings on social media, a lot of people often mention Jericho going back to WWE. What's the idea with that? Is Jericho going to the Royal Rumble? Something I see often. Well, for the first time ever on this cruise, no AEW names listed. What does that mean? Who knows? But look, I mean, the top three headliners here are Jeff Hardy, Saraya, and the Great Muta with him. So, yeah.
There have been Saraya rumblings recently, too. So,
yeah. So, I don't know. I guess just put that in the back of your mind just in case. Maybe. Again, I can't imagine Jericho never touches the Bad Apple and the Big Red again. You know, maybe he is gone. I don't know. We'll just have to keep an eye out. Just well, put I don't that want to one be that in the back guy. Of your mind.
He's not even been going, but it's been Big Bill again. It's not been Redwood Big Bill. It's been Big Bill, and it's been Bounty Hunter Brian Keith. It's not been the Bad Apple. So I wonder if they just dropped that whole thing altogether, and that's why they've been doing their own thing as a tag team. And like, what? How sad would that be if that was Jericho's last segment? Was just him saying, "Yeah, you're good. Go off on your own. Prove me right," and then just never came back. That would be kind of tragic.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, there have been please retire chants for the last 4 years that we've been covering this. Like, I'm not saying they're justified. I don't think he's done, to be honest with you. I think he'll go back to WWE and have one more phenomenal run, if not more than one. But like, if he's gone, it's just going to open up opportunity for other people. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Exactly. I think no matter what, he needed a break, right? That was what the one thing we were 100% in agreement on was he needed some time off TV.
I mean, this conversation happens every time right before he's right about to come back. This is usually what happens. He'll probably be back like after the pay-per-view, and he'll probably be back at the pay-per-view now or something stupid, right? But like, and then like, it's always silly. I mean, maybe the fucking cruise, he was trying to push for it to be an episode of Dynamite again, and because they didn't want to do that, he's like, fuck you, we're not having any of your people on it then. Or maybe he's just going to retire, you know?
Yeah.
There's a million options. He could be back next week. And what if he was?
He absolutely could be.
We'd be like, yeah, sure, fine, sure. We'd at least see what he's going to try and do, you know? Because, I mean, I can't think. There's been storylines that we didn't love how long they went, but I don't think any of the storylines as concepts we've been like, fuck this, like, that I can think of, you know? Like, so.
Yeah. And then chop this last segment up under a what the fuck, because no one knows really what's up with these new WWE contracts.
Okay.
So there's a non-compete clause that's potentially causing Andrade's AEW absence. So Andrade wrestled in Mexico October 3rd at the Crash. He was booked to wrestle October 20th at Mucha Lucha Atlanta. Was quietly taken off. Everyone's like, what the fuck? What the fuck's going on? Sean Bross Sapp has a post that says Andrade is back in WWE. He quotes it and says, oh shit, I might have accidentally been right. Something along those lines. Well, while everyone's scrambling trying to figure out what's the deal with these contracts, this sounds like this came out. New TKO contracts have a clause where if you are fired for cause or breach, there is a 1 year non-compete. The older contracts had this, but it's standard now. This is the holdup involving Andrade. Well, okay. This could be an absolute fucking mess. And to be fair,
we never heard anything about a release, right? That's my understanding.
Andrade was fired.
Yeah, he was just straight up fired because he was, I'll just say it, probably because he was an asshole or something on purpose. You know what I mean, right? And I'm not saying he's an asshole. I'm just saying anybody could be a dick.
The night he debuted in AEW, they said it was due to multiple wellness policy failures. That was what WWE said the night he debuted in AEW, which everyone kind of immediately pushed to the side, like, okay, yeah, whatever.
But now that that's being said, now that you have the full context, it's possible he did actually, you know, he was like roiding up or something like that, you know, like, and if that's the case, obviously we want to make sure he's not doing that in AEW, because that would obviously create, you know, it'll just create opportunity for people to just shit on it, you know? They already, look at what they did when Max bulked up, you know what I mean? Like, Jesus, you know? And I'm sure he did it all natty, knowing Max, right? Just to say fuck you to everybody, he probably did it naturally. And, but anyway, yeah, as for the contract thing, I would say that's a scary precedent, but then you read a part that said that was standard on older contracts. It's just now
within TKO.
It was on older contracts. I'm taking that to mean that probably like the top talent might have had that, you know, like if you're
so legally the man can't work for a year and he's not getting paid. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, I think that might be the thing that wins him the lawsuit.
No way.
I don't see I forget what type of what type of judge it is that oversees like work type cases like this. Is a name for it. I just can't think of what it is. Like labor laws, judge, whatever that would be. You know, I don't see them looking at that and saying, oh yeah, Andrade needs to fucking sit this out and not be paid. either one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to have to pay him for that year to not do anything, or he's going to have to, or they're going to have to, excuse me,
and also
have to let him wrestle. One of the two.
How would this work with, because you remember, in April of 2024, Biden signed his company, right? Signed that whole thing with the FTC about there would be no more non-compete agreements. That went into law in September of 2024. So is because Andrade signed what we would guess in February or January of 2024, does that not work for him? How does this work anymore? Is this only for new contracts? I don't know. But I mean, that was a big story. I remember us covering that story about.
See, and I almost wonder, because we've known for a fact, because we've seen wrestlers not just jump straight ship, right? You know? So it makes me wonder, is that why we haven't seen Cedric?
Well, Cedric went to TNA with his wife.
So he's just not interested? Is that basically what he's.
Yes. Oh. But it makes you wonder.
Well, it makes you wonder, like, is this even enforceable, like, in that case? Like, is it enforceable? Is it, if it is it one of those things where, like, a legal precedent can overturn it in the future? And does, I mean, you know, like, I don't want to be that guy, but, like, Tony Khan, I don't think, reinvented the wheel with wrestling contracts, you know, like, I suspect. I mean, he doesn't do the non-compete thing, I don't think, but, like, you know, he still has them as independent contractors, I believe. So, you know, like.
Now, with Mariah May showing up at NXT the next week, I don't think there was a non-compete.
No. I'm saying but they're still, like, the whole concept of them being independent contractors, and that's why they can be fucked around with like this, you know?
Either way, if this is true, Andrade is about to be the face of a massive lawsuit.
It sucks that we probably won't see Andrade the rest of this year because of this. Maybe not even next year, depending on how long the lawsuit takes to work out, you know?
Yeah, this is about to get insane.
I mean, what if this ends Andrade's career? Because he spends so much time litigating it that he's just sick of wrestling by the end of
luckily
it, you know?
Luckily for him, he's still very young, so. But, I mean, you don't want to be benched for a year and not be injured.
I think, unfortunately, Charlie, I think no matter what, at this point, because he went out and did an appearance on American wrestling television, I think that they're going to rule that he's going to have to sit out for a year. And
they might.
Maybe get paid, but I think he's not going to get
the thing I'm stuck on.
Now, I hate to say this. I love that he did the fuck you and just debuted. You know what I mean? He just came back, said, fuck you. You can't tell me what to do. Showed up on AEW. You know what I mean? Cool moment. It'll be an AEW. Because now when you go back and watch that clip of him returning, it's fucking, he was going rogue. You know what I mean? Like, I fucking love that. You know what I mean? But it feels very fucking, he's fucking WCW, just a person showing up when they're not like supposed to be allowed to, you know. I guess that's probably why all those non-competes exist now, right? But it sucks that we might not see him for like a full year because of this shit. That's crazy.
More to follow. That's
hopefully
gonna be one.
If some badass lawyer just fucking dices the court up and or maybe the defense up or the offense, whatever the fuck that would be, you know. Hopefully
wrestling
they
should
six
at
touchdowns
max
in the court. And
at max in wrestling,
blowout.
You should be getting paid. Like, I'm sorry, this is not.
No, this is how wrestling contracts
should
work.
Paid.
They should be mostly guaranteed,
one
in my opinion.
1 year is a fucking joke.
Yeah, no fucking. You can do a 1 year deal if you like. We can have the concept of a prove it deal in wrestling for like, I don't know, if like Blake Christian's on the end of his deal and like isn't wanting to re-sign to a long term deal. Okay, Blake, we'll give you a year. If you fucking impress us, we'll give you a bigger deal. You know, like, whatever, right? Because he's just not on your radar as your top guy, right? I like Blake Christian, but not everybody is all about Blake Christian, right? So, and then he impresses you. You sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, something like that. You know what I mean? Maybe even a 5 year deal, whatever, right? And then I personally think they should be, and this is going to piss a lot of people off, I think they should be mostly guaranteed. I don't think there should be this bullshit where if I just decide you're gone 2 years into your contract that you just don't get paid. No. Why? You're not paying for me to be there for those matches. You're paying for the idea of me. You are paying for the right to sell your fucking shows with my name and likeness. That's what you are basically getting for your giant contract. And the wrestling part of it too. But really, they don't sell the matches. The matches haven't sold wrestling in decades. The fucking stories sell wrestling, you know, like, so. As a storyteller, you have to be able to do your part of things. So I don't think that you should just like, you're not, like, I feel like wrestlers are both over and undervalued sometimes, but I feel like they're definitely not given what they should in their contracts. Like, I also think that maybe there should be a conversation about, even if they're going to still pay them as much as they do, them not being contractors at all, you know, so they can be guaranteed by law certain things that they're not, that Tony Khan has to be gracious, quote unquote, enough to give them, you know, like, because I just feel like that's still, to me, that was the big conversation around AEW, right? Was fixing all those little things. Tony Khan has the opportunity to go out and be like, hey, I know I'm just getting into this business recently, but this is the way I see things. Because sometimes that happens, Charlie. And sometimes an influential person, like with the kind of money that TK has, can make a big change in the world like that. Maybe he doesn't want to do that, but it would certainly put AEW on the map if he came out spoken. It was outspoken about this issue because it means a lot to a lot of wrestlers, you know, so.
Yeah, it's just going to be something we have to follow. We have to take this nugget in the back of our mind. And
I'm just pissed that we don't get fucking Andrade back in LFI, or sorry, in the Don Callis family for a while, you know? Well, we might imagine them feuding with LFI because he was their old leader. Ooh.
Yeah, there's a lot of options here. I don't know.
Does this open the door for Klon to maybe take that spot that he would have had in the Callis family, like as like the main Lucha guy for a while?
I just don't know where
does
Hechicero
just bump back in, like, because he's already established.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Andrade was on just a different level. I think there was a chance Andrade could have.
Is this going to prevent the Don Callis family from finally becoming what we wanted it to? Because
no.
They just.
I mean, does it suck losing a potential main eventer? Of course it does.
Well, lost him and you lost the Klon story too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They'll be fine. They just need to shift some focus back on a Kyle Fletcher, and I'm sure they will.
Because think about it. If you had Kyle doing his shit, Okada fucking doing his shit with fucking the tag team with fucking Takeshita right now, whenever he gets back. Takeshita being the world champion. Yoshi Alexander being in every match under the sun. And fucking Rocky Romero somehow wrestling, it feels like, on every other fucking card. You know, like Lance Archer being in there. And you had this fucking going on, those two stories going on as well. Can you imagine how fucking thick it would feel with the fucking Callis family? That's what we were wanting, man. It's still going to feel like it, but it's just going to feel a little bit less like it, man.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the other meat of the show, if you will, Duke. I guess we got 3 hours of television to talk about. We talked about a couple things already, but you take the key for the 2-hour portion of Dynamite.
Dynamite. It's Dynamite Elision, because it's both shows at once.
I love these graphics they used, by the way.
Yeah.
Brilliant graphics.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a little recap from when Jack and Kenny decided to work together, you know. Shout out that segment, I guess, being shown again. They ran down the match card. And we cut to a video segment backstage, which was the final sit down and final words from Chris Statlander and Tony Storm before the pay-per-view match. Tony says, basically she just needs the title to be able to feel anything. She is, the title and her are synonymous at this point, and she'd say she just needs it because that's where she feels normal. The reason why Chris Statlander is constantly unable to be predicted and anticipated by Tony Storm, Chris Statlander says in response to this, is because she's constantly like tweaking and editing the styles and changing up who she is, and she's never one, you can never get a bead on her because she's constantly switching it up on you, so you never know what to expect, which I love taking that angle. Basically, after this, you know, they start sort of, there's a little bit more of a back and forth, but then they're like, let's, you know, basically she's like, you know, meet me in the ring. Let's, you know, these words, they're not getting it done. And we'll agree to no violence during this, but she's, is this interview over? Meet me in the ring. All right. And they go out and they meet in the ring, and then they brawl it up. And Tony sets it up a situation where she can hit her with the championship, her being Chris Statlander, and or rather she being Chris Statlander, whatever the fucking pronouns were in that fucking sentence, they got all fucking, and she wants her to kill her with the belt, basically. And then it was misdirection, and she was gonna, now she's like, no, you kill me with the belt. And she kissed her on the forehead, gave her the belt back, probably not in that order, but whatever, and exited the ring. But I don't know. I thought this was solid. It's a good setup for the pay-per-view. I thought Chris sounded good during the promo stuff. Tony Storm's being fucking diabolically insane as always. Any thoughts on this at all, Charlie, other than just...
But that Tony was speaking some fucking heavy truth, man. She was spitting some hard facts. Because I think that's how a lot of people view Tony Storm. Now that she doesn't have the belt. I mean, dude, it was like 2 weeks ago when she came out. It felt weird not seeing her with the championship. And it's not like the Mariah May reign didn't exist or anything. It's just, it naturally...
It existed like crazy.
Tony was the champion. Ever. Yeah. You just feel like Tony Storm was the champion. Like, she is made to be the champion. So, when she's... Again, that's why I'm so glad they're not afraid to, like, say things like this. Because it should get your mind racing. Statlander doesn't necessarily feel like the champion yet, even though she is. And the fact that they're not afraid to touch on that in these promo segments says so much about them and says so much about, like, the confidence in going out to deliver in this match. Because is it fair to say, Duke, you could have easily taken away, you could have gone such a different angle than that and been like, you know what? Let's not say what the audience is feeling because it might have a slight disturbance against our babyface champion. But instead, Statlander wants to work up against that. She wants to be against this adversity. She's been against her entire career. I don't know.
I think it's different. Like,
surprised
by
the message of the.
I think with Hangman and Mox, we were just ready for Mox to be out of the world title scene at that point, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, but we even agreed that on the chase, it was better. And that the fact that he didn't win, it was fine. You know what I mean? So, not that we wanted him to win it back anyway, but, like, you know, like. So, but I think because of how synonymous, like, I think if she's, like, you're right, she's spitting facts. She has been the champion for a better part of 2 years, with the exception of the Mariah May section. But, like, because Mariah's not here anymore, it feels like she's basically just been champion for, like, 2.5 years or something like that, you know? So, like, and really, in that time, there have been people that have stepped up that we thought could have won it, but they just never came through. It's like, yeah, at this point, I think in order to, there are certain title reigns, and we talk about this. It's possible to tell you what it is about those reigns individually, but there's just something about when a gimmick meets a title reign, meets certain matches in a certain order, you just have to run it back sometimes. It's just, you just have to. Because in order for our champion to feel more legitimized right now, this is the simplest way you can put it. She needs to beat somebody on the level of Toni Storm twice. And I don't know why that is. Just in this scenario, it's something we have to do. And it's nothing about Chris. It's nothing really about Tony. It's just the way these stories have worked out and the fact that she's been champion for so long and so often and so dominant as champion. Chris needs that. It's not that she needs it. She will benefit from it. You know, yeah. Like, so. Yeah,
no, it's a completely different approach than when they did the Mox and Hangman. I mean, that was a good reference because we just did that. And it feels different. Everything about it's different, yet I think they got good emotion out of this. And I think I really think this promo segment worked.
Agreed. Jack Perry had a little backstage segment explaining why he betrayed the Buckaroonies, the Bucklet Von Bucklets. Basically said, yeah, when I needed them the most, they fucking abandoned me. So I abandoned them. Damn. All right, Jack. The Gates of Agony took on the Hurt Syndicate again, Charlie.
Yeah. One last thing on that last little thing. When the Young Bucks are finally repenting for their sins, it's going to be unbelievably great.
The Young Bucks are done as baby faces, bro. They're heels.
When
they're
repent, cooked. I'm telling you, it's going to be world class.
Yeah, well, when they fucking repent, the heel acclaimed will be my champions.
I hope so.
That's unironically where I think we're going with them, by the way. We'll get to that later, but I think that's actually the angle, is they're going to decide they actually hate everybody else more than they hate each other. Yeah. GOA, Hurt Syndicate, again. Oh, God. Hitting the fucking, this feud, they're just hitting the goddamn Winter Soldier on, because they got nothing for either team, I guess, so. I just don't care anymore. Is that sad?
Well,
I like everybody involved.
No, it is sad because, you know, this was the first time Lashley and Benjamin ever suffered a loss as a tag team.
That I care about. That was cool. The first time ever getting pinned. I was like, holy shit, I wish I would have cared more about this match.
No, it's just, I don't think these matches have gotten to that spot. And it's unfortunate. But I think all
can
be...
That's a cool thing for the Demand to be able to always say, is that they were the first people to defeat the Hurt Syndicate.
More than the Demand, this is good for Gates of Agony in their career.
Yes.
Like, I think these guys... I don't know, man. When they went to Japan, I started to actually really think, like, oh, these guys want to be great as a tag team. They're not just doing it because it's convenient and they'll get it booked right now. I actually think they care about being a tag team.
No, I still think Gates... I think they're still one of the best young tag teams that we have. You know, like, they've done so little with the back half of this storyline that I just don't have enough fucking energy for it anymore. So, like, when you get to that huge moment that's supposed to be, like, maybe the end of this story or maybe the beginning of the second part of it or some shit like that, like...
Whoever wins this feud needs to go after those trios titles? Is that fair?
I hope so. That'd be cool. I hope so. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, shit, Joe could be world champion for all we know.
Not in my company.
Yeah, so that's significant, I suppose. Darby versus Mox at Comic-Con stuff. Talked about the brilliant segment after that. Claudio Castagnoli versus Roderick Strong. This is very close to my favorite this week. I won't even lie. It's a very good match. It was angry and suplex versus angry and uppercut, Charlie. And boy, did it ever get hot and fucking... And they did some mat wrestling, too. This was, like, honestly, kind of surprised that did this match ever happen in NXT? If it didn't, it should have. Like, send Claudio back down there just to have this match. Like, that's crazy that... I'm sure we've had it on AEW before, but, like, it just feels different when two guys like this, they get in there, they both know they're, like, two indie fucking indie-rific motherfuckers, you know, they used to be...
Former PWG World Champions.
Yeah, dude! They know, they did the whole fucking thing. It felt like what would have been... This could have been a PWG match, mind, you know, with more shenanigans, obviously, like, as PWG, but, like, they would have... This could have absolutely main evented a PWG at some point, you know, like, so, yeah. Let's see, what stuff did I really like from this? Dude, okay, so Claudio does this. I think he's done it with Darby a few times, and Darby's usually the best at this, but they did this, like, little, like, giant swing into the barricade, and Roderick sort of, like, he just got shot. You know, I guess that's the gimmick tonight. Sky Blue got shot, now Roddy's been shot, you know? Yeah, I mean, it was hard-hitting, but what I noticed about this, and I think you'll appreciate this, because you'll agree, they both wrestle, like, a strong style, right? They both do the hard-hitting thing, right? But they do a different kind of, like, Claudio's is more European. You know, so it's different, you know, and it's kind of like when you put Pete Dunne against, I don't know, fucking somebody from America that hits really hard. I can't think of in the Fed because my Fed brain is gone. But, you know, like, and it just works because there's different. It's hard, but British style is even slightly different than American hard hitting style. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, look at Hobbs has said he does like a hard, strong style, you know. Hobbs doesn't really wrestle like a lot of other, you know, strong style people that I've seen because he's got that unique style from this country. You know what I mean? So anyway, there was this really good backbreaker on the turnbuckle. Claudio picks up his 100th AEW career win here, Charlie. I mean, that's a pretty significant number, I feel like.
Yeah. Good. Sorry, well, hold on. Got hit with a distraction. All good, though. Yeah, just talking about the Claudio match, you said?
Yeah, I was just talking about, like, he had his 100th win, like, how, you know, the significant number.
That's a significant number, man. I mean, yeah. Look, he has had a really enjoyable run in AEW, and he's always been relevant. And I think that's one of the biggest
things. He's just now getting to 100 wins. I guess he has lost a lot of big matches. And I think that's a big thing that Claudio... It's weird. It almost felt like Claudio lost a lot in the Fed, but like now the losses he's taking are just like matches you could... are 50-50s. Like this match, I could have seen him losing this match 1,000,000%, you know? Roddy could have used this win. It wouldn't have hurt him all much, you know? Like, so... But he can win this match too, which before, I don't know that we would have said that if this was a match in the WWE, you know?
Yeah, look, and they were just beating the ever-living shit out of each other.
Indeed. No, that's what I was saying.
It just went short. That was my only complaint about this, that it went short.
Do you agree that they're contrasting different types of stronger styles, kind of like, was really interesting to see? You know, Claudio has that sort of
European... It created a cool
dynamic
to the match, definitely.
That was the biggest takeaway I had from it, was just like, it was cool, because I don't think of Claudio, because he just kind of fits in. Like, Eddie wrestles a strong style, but I guess he wrestled maybe more of a Japanese strong style, so maybe that meets with a European strong style a little bit more, who knows, but yeah, just really good stuff there. Don Callis family, we're celebrating Don Callis. Now, I'm going to just say it how I wrote it in my notes. The celebration of the birth of a bitch named Don. That's what I wrote in my notes, so that's what I'm reading. Okada turned the TV off after Takeshita was saying he was going to go win the title. We then see a video segment, because of course we're already in the future from when this would have taken place, where Takeshita did win the title. Shout out our boy. Finally got the fucking big one. Mark Davis, Josh Alexander, and Hechicero took on Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express. A lot of energy to this one. You got like a goat wrestler contender and two of the best like young vets on the roster in Luchasaurus and Jack Perry taking on an alchemist from Mexico and two meat behemoths. So lock in, you know? Honestly, this was just a fucking masterfully wrestled tag match. This was also probably in contention for me. This was a really good fucking match, in my opinion. Like,
it told that really cool story of Omega not really trusting Jack Perry. And I think that adds a really cool element to the match.
Let's see what else. Oh, Jack ultimately makes the sacrifice for Kenny, which Kenny acknowledges at the end of the match post-match. So Jack fully a babyface at this point. I do think he's going to keep the edge that he gained as, you know, I think that's why he's Jungle Jack Perry now. I think he's Jack Perry, but with a little bit of an edge now, because he went to Japan, joined up with the Bucks, did some evil deeds, but now he's trying to redeem himself by saving his friend and all this. Post-match. Oh, and also, of course, Kenny Omega did Kenny Omega things. Duh. Of course he did, you know. But yeah, then Das Bucks, they attacked after the match. Da Book. And, you know, they got their shots in, but they also got God a little bit. So, you know, it's kind of a little even little thing for them and Jurassic Express. Pretty straightforward. I won't even really ask you what you think. I mean, you know, the Bucks attacked. Great. They looked
action-packed, you know. Fun time.
Yep. Good stuff. We talked about Sky Blue versus Jaime Hita. And actually, this is I think this would have been considered. I don't know where. I know there was like a 1 hour demarcation, my guy. But I'm going to go ahead and say, for me, I believe this was the hour and a half mark where I'm at in the show right now, if I remember right. So,
yeah. And then
after I talk about this segment, because I think this was the last thing on the first hour and a half, I will toss it over to you for the ops, or so for the Hangman joining in the ops. So does that sound good to you? Because this is literally just a 10-second segment of Mercedes says, I have 10 belts now. Great.
Yep.
It was good. She was good. She sounded good.
I believe it was it Renee this that was, called her Ultimo, or did she call herself Ultimo?
One of them says it in this segment. Okay. I believe it was Mercedes. Yeah. So I think Mercedes says
up
that for the first time in the segment.
Persephone, yeah. Right?
Yep. She talks about a Persephone match and how she is. Oh, the significance of this. Why I wrote this down, Charlie. Jade's record is officially dead. I mean, not yet, but by the time we get to the pay-per-view, it will be gone. And yeah. What that basically told us is they're not scheduling a match before then to be like, oh, will she lose it before that? No. They're deleting Jade from the Rick Card books. I mean, she's still going to be in there as number two, but they're taking her off the number one spot. So, which we all knew was coming because this title reign never ended. So we knew they were either doing this or she was dropping it randomly when none of us expected it. So, I mean, just does this signal that like this is still just getting started so that the record can be truly buried, or is she losing it to the next contender? I guess is my question.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see.
Like, was this petty Tony Khan being like, no, you're keeping it until you beat that record? Or is this just a stepping stone that she's crossing over at this point?
He's kind of doing the living legend thing with her and Okada, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I still don't know if we're going to see her next, you know, the next champion coming, or if it's going to be a surprise. I don't know yet. Because I don't think she's losing it right now or any time in the foreseeable future. But does that leave it open for the surprise? Are we underrating Persephone? Because again, I think
Persephone is getting a CMLL CMLL world title shot, so it's not even for the TBS, so, you know, so.
Yeah, and if Persephone wins that match, ultimately she's definitely coming after the AEW one, because it's like, 100%. I just pinned her in a one-on-one.
Yeah, no, 1 million percent. She should get a title. I mean, in theory, a shot at all the titles if she beats her for one of them. So if logic from wrestling holds up, you know, so. Not that they won't do that, Persephone, but she'll get a shot at the major ones at least, right? So, you know.
Persephone might be someone that I think now moves to the top of the radar of either start using her a little more in this cross promotion if you want to, because they featured her on TV a couple times. She's been going viral a little bit recently too. Like, she's just kind of got it all. She's got a badass look. She's a great wrestler. And like, she just brings that like viciousness. And we've seen her a couple times wrestle and she does stick out. So I don't know. Every time we see Persephone on TV, I'm like, yeah, if I'm those guys, I mean, I'm really trying to secure Persephone. Like, let's bring her in. Because when you think about it, it's Thunder Rosa and Diamante that are our and Spanish luchadors, because Ty Mello's Brazilian. So we really don't have any other, like, Mexican
luchadors. We don't have a ton. Thunder Rosa really was the first one.
I don't even think Diamante's Mexican. I don't actually know that off the top of my head. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's totally an open market, man. Like,
for some reason, I think I remember maybe Red Velvet is, like, half Spanish or something like that, too. But, like, yeah. I don't know that she's, like, a from Mexico type. I doubt that. You know what I mean? Like, so, but we could use some more. I would be down with Persephone.
Yeah. All I know is, like, Diamante's Spanish of some sort. So, I don't know. Do with that what you will. They use their
Diamante definitely has a Spanish accent on
so,
it.
Okay, they used her with
I believe that is technically a Spanish-speaking country.
They used her with that group, and they were like kind of
Cuban language, isn't there?
She was like the Spanish representation in that group, if you will. So, yeah. Again, I think this is a really big open market, if we're being honest, for AEW specifically, because like we are with how many luchadors we have on the show now, too, and that partnership that AEW has with Fox Sports in Mexico already. I'm just saying, I feel like I'm screaming at the wall sometimes being like, hey, this looks a little too easy. I mean, unless Persephone's on like some massive contract and, you know, in that case, she's
that is always the question you have with Mexico. Cause like, you know they have certain talent there that they have to
keep.
Or
can they sign
in-house.
The dual thing? Right? Like,
yeah, that's my,
if
idea.
We ever see Mascara Dorada, this is going to be the one. If we ever see Mascara Dorada sign the dual contract, anything's possible. That's going to be the one.
Weirdly, I think it's more likely that whatever deal he's on with them now, he just finishes out and then he signs the dual contract.
Because Místico's with MLW, yeah. So that's not happening. He's not going to sign the dual contract with AEW, MLW, and I don't think he even could, because that would be, you know, he can wrestle in AEW,
the triple
obviously.
Contract would be insane, though.
I don't think you can do two contracts in America.
Get Takesh to sign to CMLL. I'm down.
Yeah, so. All right, I guess I'll take it from here then, huh? So we'll
get
this.
I mean, I could also finish it out. I don't mind
because I had a couple takes off this next match. So we have Hangman coming out for commentary. Couple side eyes with him and Danielson. They had a good match together. The Ops versus ROH six man tag champions LFI Rush the Beast Mortos and Dralístico for the AEW Trios titles. Well, we kind of got exactly what we'd want in this match. LFI put up a pretty good fight, but unfortunately. There's no way the Ops were losing. And I say unfortunately because
he's going into the world fucking title this weekend. Yeah. If he loses this, then what the fuck? Like,
the Ops won those titles. We had hope that they'd do something with it, and it's been a nothing fart burger rain again. So again, I came out of this match, Duke, and I thought to myself, what is the point of these titles? This is now going on, I believe, over a year of two title reigns. That no one cares about. They've completely killed him. Let's see this. Let me get the exact date that Blackpool Combat Club won them. August 25th, 2024. 14 months. Arguably, people didn't care about the patriarchy thing because it was one bullshit. So July, the last champions anyone gave a fuck about was the Bang Bang Gang.
And they lost it because of injury.
A year and a half ago.
And that one never got off the ground because of injury.
Yeah. And so I'm watching this match and it totally clicked in. I'm like, there's no way they're fucking losing, even though LFI is the perfect type of people that should be holding this belt. There's a million reasons I could live.
Dude, when you said please God last week during the quote unquote, like, you know, preview, I mean, it was a preview, but I was almost going to say predictions, but like when you basically like were saying you wanted them to win last week, so I remember thinking then I was like, I mean, I would love that, but.
There's no way in hell, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I just couldn't see it.
This is ultimately where we are. This is where the problem is. We are obsessed with doing this champion versus champion shit, and it's this is why, dude.
I think it's just punting on the world title for a month, dude. They do it sometimes, you know, like.
But this keeps happening. If we give the focus to one title, we can't do it to another, and it's so fucking strange. That's why I'm sitting here wondering, how does this possibly keep happening? They won these titles. Everyone was fucking so relieved.
It
kind of
feeds into the idea that you were talking about, that this wasn't a planned title reign for Hangman, which is fucking insane if that's the case, because how could it not be with the story we built up to?
Yeah, and then, you know, Hangman was given some... His story in the... Again, I thought he had some really good back and forth with Danielson here that made a lot of sense for, again, Hangman being the guy calling the shots.
Is this his first, like, higher power type angle where he spent 2 fucking years building up to Hangman winning the championship, but he just didn't, he didn't think far enough ahead to think, where do I go from there? Is that something?
No, because he spent 4 years building up to him winning it the first time. It was like 3 years, but still. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm really, really starting to think the Hangman winning it was not the original plan. And I know we talked about it earlier, so I don't want to reiterate it again here in this segment, but you're just watching this, and I mean, he's now calling Samoa Joe a Christmas ham of a man. I'm like, all right, that's interesting. Let's see what you got here.
I mean, he's a bit of a hand honk of a human. I mean, and you know, I don't.
Yeah, it's just, it's so strange. So, yeah, it just put us in a weird spot. And as they're defending these titles, I'm like, fucking A, here we go again. But ultimately, what I got from Hangman here was he owed Samoa Joe this match. That is what Hangman believes. So, I don't know. A little bit of a changeup, but also it seems like he just, last week he kind of found that maybe he did owe him, and now this week he further owes him, so there's some growth there, if you will. Joe won with a Coquina clutch, like instantly tapped out Jarlistico.
Why did he double down on that, man?
Don't know.
I understand he wants to, like, make us believe that, but, like, why? Why do you owe him? Why?
Hangman's gonna owe a lot of people a lot of things, so...
Apparently, the next 5 title shots are just... Does Darby Allin get one next?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Swerve definitely is owed something. At this
right.
I mean, Christopher Daniels...
Well, Christopher Daniels can't wrestle anymore, so...
So is he going to tag in Scorpio? Is he going to tag in, you know, Dante? Shit. I don't know.
He does like Dante.
But, yeah, I mean, we're watching this, and I was like... That's why I said, some good and some bad with this kind of whole Joe and Hangman thing tonight. I think there was some good. But, yeah, again, just kind of weak overall. But that's okay, because we jump into... There was a post-match attack that was the most unbelievable... The most unbelievable... dumb thing I've ever seen, and I'll just leave it at that.
Hangman deciding to get killed.
But let's jump into the thing that I was probably the most excited about watching the show. I didn't pick it as my favorite, but it was the thing I liked the most, I think. It was one of the things I was most excited about. Let me clarify. Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia versus Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly. Okay. All right. I wrote a couple things I really wanted to talk about.
New music for our boy Yuta.
Great music. Also, having these two tag, like, the dual entrance was perfect. These guys have been rivals for years. Again, they are the future of AEW. They have been...
It might be the present at this point. They're both
I remember the meme.
They, I mean, we called Don Callis our favorite faction, but probably the Death Riders are still, like, the biggest faction.
No, they're not the present yet. Until you're holding the world championship, they're not there yet.
Okay, fair.
Hangman's the present. Remember, Hangman was the future for a long time. He's the present, and that's fine. But these guys have been rivals for years. There was a meme back in 2021 that, again, I think it was used. There's multiple ways people could have viewed it. People that were excited about these guys probably viewed it in a positive light. People that were trying to dunk an AEW obviously use it as a negative light. There was this picture that showed, I believe it was Stone Cold and The Rock, or it was Stone Cold and Bret Hart. And it showed a side-by-side of those two, and then it showed a side-by-side of Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia. And I've always thought about that. I'm always thinking about, like, that is where they want these guys to go. And it's, again, it's ever-present. Like, I think Daniel Garcia, you know, floundered a little bit post-TNT title, but he clearly found his footing. We knew he would. But if he, you know, floundered for a little bit. These rivals are now tagging. And that didn't miss me in any way. I loved the energy of them walking together. I think this is a brand new light of the Death Riders with these two here. I think it's moments like this.
Where they had the 2 out of 3 falls match when they were, one was in the Jericho Appreciation Society and the other one was in the Combat Club.
It might have been. But, you know, it's moments like this that when these guys, and I've said this before, but if you're new, this is going to be the first time you hear. When these guys are wrestling for the AEW World Championship, and they will one day, I promise you, this will be the world title match one day. It's going to be moments like this that we look back on as, wow, they did team at one point. They were partners. And Duke, they're going to win the tag titles. Don't know when, don't know how. These two will be champions together.
That sounds crazy.
I'm so confident in Tony Khan wanting to do that. If these
two took it off Brodito right now, like this next cycle of pay-per-view, I don't think I'd be against that because this team is enough to re-energize the Death Riders back into the title scene for me, I think, you know?
Yes, and I don't want it to be another trios thing. I want these two to win tag gold. And I want this to be a proving thing to Moxley again. So Danielson during this match, he kept mentioning how we spent hours training and crafting you to become the next great wrestler.
This is like his two sons that he wanted. Yes, his son and the prodigal son, you know? Like
he would take that opportunity to teach Garcia, whether it was matches or behind the scenes training. And again, I think it's important for Danielson to point this out because people still need to understand why Yuta stole so many of his moves. And I don't think they always do a good enough job explaining why he did it. But that's okay. That's neither here nor there. I think oftentimes when it's Danielson saying it, maybe it's because Danielson doesn't do collision.
I hate wrestling fans because they need the fucking Miz to explain why he was doing Danielson's offense. You know, like
I know it sucks, but it's just the reality. There's still people that don't understand why Yuta is doing certain things, but that's okay. Anyways, when Daniel Garcia joined this group, the one thing I kept repeating. He's going to learn how to win. One way or another, that is why he joined this group. That's why he joined the dark side, if you will, right?
Yeah, Arena I love that Brian's only issues are with Wheeler and fucking maybe Claudio, but just the original three guys. He doesn't like them for what they did to him. But he looks at Danny, and he even looks at what Wheeler's doing, and he says, I understand because of where I was in my career at one point. I don't agree with it. It's not the way I do business, but I understand how hard this business is. Danielson could easily just, you know, I wouldn't be phoning it in, but just the default angle for this would be, oh, I hate everybody in this group. I hope they all die. Danielson is a much smarter storyteller than that. So he's taking a different angle with that. And I think it just adds a different element to the story.
Yeah, I want to take this another level too. What Marina did for them in this match. She did it for them. She did it. If you're in Daniel Garcia's eyes, why she just helped you win was for you. That's the first time that it was done for him. And I'm going to, Matt wouldn't have done that. He was too nice. Matt was too much of a good guy, right? Fucking slick hair motherfucker. He wouldn't have done that. Too much of a good guy.
I'll take it a step further. When they were doing it for him in the JAS and when the rest of the JAS were doing it for him, they weren't doing it for him. They were doing it because Jericho told them to.
And that's where I was going. Yes, exactly. So that was all at the benefit of Jericho and someone else calling the shots, someone else leading the charge. What Marina just demonstrated to him. You can win. I can help you. I'm doing this for you. Which is why I think Marina's become, I don't know if she's technically a manager. She's this new like hybrid.
No, because she wrestles matches occasionally.
Is she kind of like a modern, I don't, maybe this is a crazy, stupid comparison, but is she kind of like a modern day China?
Well, no.
And how she's this bodyguard figure, but she's also a manager, but she's also technically would be a valet at times. Marina is this enigma of all of it combined. On top of that, a badass wrestler. On top of that, a real life MMA fighter that they're not afraid to say that she was. Like, she can actually beat your fucking ass.
I won't say she's the modern day China, because I think that's actually Megan Bain, if I'm being honest.
But think about it. Megan doesn't really, I'm just saying in terms of the role that she's
I think
she's
Megan
fitting.
Could be that. She's got the build, so, but.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with build. I'm just saying China was utilizing her.
A big built woman. You know what I mean? Like,
just think about how they utilized China in the Degeneration X, right?
I know what you're going for.
That's what Marina is.
I see what you're saying with that. With Marina. Yeah. I do think she's hitting that level. I don't think anyone ever expected her. I think she was just expected to sort of just be in the background, like she was for a long time. Yeah. But no, she's
the girl that wrestled without shoes. The whole thing about her was throwing her socks in the crowd. That was the biggest reaction.
Would I be crazy for to say that I think she's Mox's second in command?
She absolutely is. And she'll be here when Yuta's in command.
Agreed. I think she's a fucking gun for hire. You know what I mean? And then she just I think she will be here when Yuta's in command.
I think ultimately, God, I like, if I could picture these seeds right now, I just want to try and paint this picture. I think ultimately when they finally are like, okay, Yuta's going to do this in like 3 months. It's time. It's time for Yuta to become the man. I think you could have the seeds of her, like, maybe even planting doubt a little bit here and there about Moxley. You could show her, maybe it's something Moxley says, and she kind of shifts her allegiance slowly but surely to Yuta. Just like I think, you could do it with Claudio. Yeah. You could do it with Pac.
Mm-hmm.
Again, maybe Claudio gets axed too, and the group isn't with him.
You know what? You're hitting where my brain was going with this, so I'm just gonna pose it to you the way it was coming into my head, and you gave me your seven. On the boys review over on ESC Fantasy, shout out the Gen V Season 2 Episode 7 review. If you haven't caught up on our fantasy stuff, go ahead and do that. But you gave me your 7 in that. I'm going to go ahead and put a couple of preconditions on this, that Wheeler has to leave Mox and Claudio behind. They have to not be members of this group going forward.
I don't know if it'll just be Mox's throne.
Who is the group?
That could be it.
Obviously, you have Daniel Garcia. Obviously, you have Marina Shafir. Who are the rest of the people you put around Wheeler?
100%.
Okay, I'm fine keeping Pac. He's good. He fits the vibe. Beyond that, is there another member you want to include, or do you think that's enough right there for either the new Death Riders or whatever new faction that maybe if they, you know, reinvent it again?
I think that would be enough right there. If they axe two members at once, I do think maybe there's a chance Claudio kind of plays a similar role that Yuta did when they took out Danielson, and maybe Claudio isn't always on board of, I don't know if we should do this. I just don't know, man. And maybe Yuta's like, you know, has to pull a Godolkin and get rid of the weakest, you know? So there's options.
No, I agree. I agree. That's why
tie a full circle for us.
I think a crucial part, because of how tied him and Claudio, and how Claudio has been one of the reasons why, if you go back through the whole story,
I mean, how Claudio trained him, the whipping boy.
Claudio's like the one that's led him astray the most. You know, so Mox just did what he thought he had to do, but he also treated Wheeler like shit. Claudio's the one that was like, no, you just have to trust us. Even when they were fully turning fully evil, he's like, no, you just have to trust us. So, like, I think that trust needs to be broken. I think that's a linchpin moment for the character of Wheeler Yuta, is finally saying fuck you to Claudio Castagnoli and telling him he doesn't need him anymore or something like that. Like,
I never needed you.
I mean, he betrays, dude. He betrayed Orange Cassidy. He betrayed Bryan Danielson. Now he's got to betray Claudio Castagnoli.
I think this is my favorite thing when we like start fantasy booking is the Death Rider stuff.
Because it has so much potential, dude. Like
when you get glimpses of how this happened last night with Marina helping Daniel Garcia. And I got to tell you, dude, Daniel feels a part of this group already in a way that I was really, really optimistic that he would. But the proof that he does and he really feels like a member. I don't think we're getting the rug pulled up. Oh my God, what if it's just Roddy that they bring in?
No, I was thinking Roddy feels like he's like a basically like almost in the group at this point, especially with the way things are going. Him losing to Claudio might be the last straw that makes him realize he needs to join these people or something. I would be so down with Roddy being that.
Yeah. I mean, you can also just try and picture the wrestling world at the time. I mean, it could be Statlander. Maybe Robert Martyr is in AEW at this point, and you know, I mean, he would fit perfectly hand in hand with this group.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking maybe 2 years in the future, maybe 18 months at this rate, right? So could, you know, pick a conglomeration member. There's a lot of ways you could do it. So
2 years from now, when Wheeler's been leading the Death Riders for a year, and Andrade is back, could he be a Death Rider? You know, like, I'm down, you know.
There
like,
it is. There it is. All right. Mascara Dorada. It always goes back.
Oh, shit. Fucking Mystico.
I didn't really talk too
Mystico
much about the match.
Mystico the Death Rider.
I got too excited. I'm glad we hooked on that one.
That was fun.
I got too excited. But no, the match itself was good. Orange Cassidy's back in full swing. It's He's a one-of-a-kind character. Orange Cassidy gets new people into wrestling. They see this guy that doesn't care. It's the ultimate athletic freak, right? He is the kind of guy you show people. If I was showing someone that, you know, just, you know, wanted to have a good laugh with wrestling, right? You show, because I think that's a good way to introduce someone to wrestling is the comedy aspect. I've always thought that. You can either go super athletic, show them Takeshita versus Okada, or Takeshita versus
Bandito.
Oh my God, he's been gone for so long. Osprey. You could show him that match. Well,
come on, don't disrespect my boy like that.
Dude, I couldn't think of it. I kept naming every other O in the world. He's
wrestler of the year. You hold your tongue.
But, you know, if you want to go all athletic, you show them that, right? Or there's the comedy aspect. And I think, you know, I'm just so glad Orange Cassidy's back. This is a good match.
Wait a minute. Kyle Riley
got his shit in. And
I have a question. Is Kenny Omega the wrestler of the year?
No.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Match of the year, though.
Yes. Still.
Yeah, it's not even been touched. There's been some really good matches.
The guy's a freak, right?
The only match that would be able to touch it would be like Bandito versus Takeshita, but
you know, we're getting close to the end now, so I think I have someone becoming a front runner, but I might have to save it. I don't know if I could say it yet. So
who do I have listed currently?
We'll have to see.
Let me see.
But this was the flag thing that we've talked about a lot already today with the I Quit at the end here. It was really good stuff. Okay. FTR and Stokely are out there with Megan Bain. A lot of running down, you know, their opponents. The most memorable line was saying Speedball looked like Billy Ray Cyrus with an autoimmune disorder.
Come on, man.
Brutal. Dax is ramping up the crowd. Stay quiet while Daddy's speaking. 11 years, 10 world titles, 7 different brands. Match of the year. Jet Speed this Saturday will stand across the ring from God. Good stuff. And then they got some shit in, and there was some good stuff there. They immediately jump into the Harley Cameron versus Megan Bain match.
God. Where, Jesus.
Where Harley didn't just job out. On paper, traditionally, you might say to yourself, oh, that's a 3-minute fucking dunkaroo. Nah, it went eight
Still
minutes.
She got her ass beat, though.
She got her ass beat, but she hung around. So I think that's... You know, Harley Cameron.
No, I mean, but most people wouldn't do that to Megan Bain. So, you know.
No, like, exactly. We're talking about the alpha, if you will. A running Liger Bomb for the win. Good stuff here. But I don't know. Nice to see Megan Bain back. And I don't know about you. I like just jumping from one segment to the other the way they did. That seamless transition was fun. And I bet it worked out really well for the live crowd.
Well, yeah, because you had Top Gods in the ring cutting a promo, which I so hope. And that this is a signal that this is just a new faction now. So down, because it's a good faction, you know? But, yeah, I mean, think about it. It's Stokely as a manager, and you have two of the hottest women in the women's division right now that are going to be in the tag tournament, so they'll have definitely TV time for him to be there, you know, doing promos for them. And FTR are just fucking cooking right now. Give them a young stud to throw in as their fucking other singles person, and we're fucking locked in, you know?
Tommy.
Yes.
Yep. I do think... They tried it with Daniel. Maybe that's the angle if they do a faction, right? I desperately think FTR wants to have, when they leave, the people that retire them is like a young group or a young guy that just,
we're
they trained
up,
up as their own.
2 years left on their contract they signed
2 years
a while
left,
ago?
Yeah,
yeah, because it was a 5-year deal, and that was it, and that was a couple of years ago. And
could be Tommy, could be Nick Wayne. Again, it might don't have to look too far.
Yeah.
It might be Nick Wayne.
I'm down. He's enemies with their enemies, so that would check out. So, that would make a lot of sense.
Eddie Kingston and Hook, holy shit. Backstage, talking about moving on from LFI after Kingston's two latest singles wins.
Let's go.
They're moving forward in the tag team division. They challenge anyone to show up at Tailgate Brawl. All right. And we immediately jump to Alicia with Max
Caster.
Well, no,
they challenged, I think, anybody from LFI to show up. So it's probably going to be Roosh and... Maybe
no,
Sammy?
He said they're done with LFI.
Well, no, they said that. I think I took it as he challenged LFI to a match on the show. Maybe I'm wrong, but
yeah, I took it as they're done with. So hey, we'll find out, right? That'll be fun.
Sure.
They immediately cut to Max Caster and Anthony Bowens. That's who they're facing. That was my gut.
You know,
that was what I thought.
That would make sense. Yeah, actually.
So yeah, but
God, then who
really
wins that fucking match? Jesus.
Again, it just kind of jumped into the same old with this, and I didn't even really write it down. I just. All I wrote down was Shivani called them spoiled brats. Like, it's exhausting. It's the same storyline. So, just don't care. Unfortunately. One of my, arguably my favorite actual wrestler, favorite human to root for. I don't care what they're doing right now. Sucks.
Yep.
Brodito and Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher, Lance Archer, and Rocky. one last party match. I don't know about you, but 3 hours in, wasn't feeling the party match as much.
Nope. I didn't write shit down about this match, I'll be honest.
It was action-packed. Okada, Fletcher teaming up. Lance Archer looked like kind of like he rolled the clock back 10 years a little bit. I don't know. Lance Archer hitting diving cross bodies.
He just never really goes for it like that because he knows he's not intended to. He's just there to be the big meat.
Let's fucking do their thing.
Sometimes he's meant to be the big meat, and then he goes to Japan. He'll get a couple singles matches, and we'll remember why Lance Archer gets those singles matches because he's actually really good. We just remember the fucking insane fucking match with the rope skin ripped off so the fucking hangman couldn't hit the buckshot, and he had to hit the buckshot off the ref. This guy can cook when they let him. He's not that guy, and he knows it, and Japan knows it, and wherever else he wrestles knows it, and they just let him cook when they want to. And it's I can't really think of a comp. Maybe like Braun Strowman in his prime in WWE was like kind of like this, where he would be, we know what he's good at, but we just aren't using him in the way that we maybe could, you know? Like, I don't know. But also, I don't know. What would you do? Have him go up against, like, I mean, there's probably actually a lot of people on the come up in singles right now that it wouldn't hurt them to have a match with Lance, probably, if they actually let Lance do some stuff, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, there's options. And I thought Briscoe and Fletcher got in there and looked good too. El Clone got his entrance. That looked pretty neat. Okada showed up, blindsided King with a belt. The show goes off air with Okada holding up 18 different titles. So, although that would include his tag titles, but you know what I mean. And that was it. So
his tag titles, you're already calling them his?
Yeah. So there you go.
Shit.
Okay, that would be a step too far. If Okada's walking around with five belts.
No, because there's no way he lets Takeshita hold one of those championships.
Exactly.
There's no shot he lets him hold the other belt. And I'm so down for it. Takeshita just has to sit there and watch him hold both.
Oh my god, how are they going to... Well, let's just jump into our predictions now. Because let's just open up with that match. Because how are they going to do this? IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Takeshita. AEW... How many titles is this guy holding? Three?
Yeah, the Continental, International, TNT, and Unified, like...
And TNT, or a fucking singles title number two. Yeah. So
singles title number one and two, and then, or two and three, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then, and also the tag team championship is on the line. How do they not win?
Something's got to happen here.
Like what?
Is Okada and Takeshita going to be tag team champions?
They might be.
They might be.
I'm predicting it right now because I don't know what else happens here.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Lock it in. Double champs.
I didn't think about it, but how?
I've been thinking about this.
How do they lose?
I'm like, how do they lose this match now that it's a pay-per-view match? When it was just the fucking one-off, oh, they might lose to the champions to make Brodito look better. No.
Can I give you an answer on how?
I mean, buddy? I'm down. There's options.
Buddy? Returning?
That would be a good way.
Okada is the reason he got out?
Nah, hey, look, when it comes together like that, it kind of makes sense. But, like, I don't know. See, I hadn't considered that, but now that I have. But
is he even ready? We haven't heard jack shit since he said his ankle was worse than he thought.
I'll just say that they're going to win them for now because I don't know. I mean, because I don't know why Brodito would beat both of these guys.
Oh, but would that put them over?
It might. So maybe that's why you pick Brodito. See, I don't know. Like, it's...
This is going to be a great show. This is a great match.
You know who's winning this match? The fucking fans. That's
the fans
winning.
Are winning 100%. Yes. All right, let's hit this tailgate brawl. Probably won't watch it live, but it's worth mentioning. FTR versus Jet Speed. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron versus Penelope and Megan. It's going to be good. Conglomeration. We have Orange, Ishii, Kyle 2, and Roddy versus the Death Riders, Claudio Pack, Wheeler Yuta,
and Daniel. There's no way he's Kyle 2 now. Come
Sorry,
on.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry, man.
He's been demoted?
He conglomerated with Dart. He got demoted.
Come on.
And, all right, it's Kyle 1 for that. You're right. My bad. Eddie Kingston and Hook versus TBA. So that's your Eastern. You get four tag matches. Welcome to Tailgate Brawl. We're setting the show.
He is 0-2 in Kyle versus Kyle matches, though, so he might actually be Kyle 2 at this point.
See? Thank you.
You know, he might have lost the Kyle war at this point.
He might be Kyle 3.
No, wait. Who's the other Kyle over him?
You don't want to know, man. It's a bad
Jesus.
Look.
Jesus.
There's a guy out there named Kyle Fish.
No.
Yeah. It's like some more fucking antibody version of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. It's fucked up. It's a fucked up looking being. But
God, that would be one ugly motherfucker.
Kyle Fish might be Kyle
Fish. Because
they're
both not bad looking dudes, but if you put their faces together, I don't think it would look good.
You'd get Kyle Fish. Mercedes Moné appears on the pay-per-view. Jamie Hayter versus Tekla. I'm going Tekla.
Yeah, I think Tekla probably wins because, I mean, it sucks. Jamie's been in this position all fucking year, man. What the fuck? How did we get here?
Whoever wins this match has to go after Statlander. At least
Which is why it's going to be Tekla, because Tekla can afford to fucking lose that match right now, but Jamie can't. Fuck.
Yeah, but what if Statlander just doesn't hold it for long? I don't know. I don't fucking know. This is hard. This is going to be a good show. That's what I'm realizing right now. We're getting set up for something special here.
I mean, this pay-per-view just kind of came out of nowhere, it feels like. Reaction. I mean, we were watching the build-up, but, like, I don't know if in my head I was like, this is going to be, like, a... Wrestle Dream's kind of always like that. Maybe because of where it is in the year. It's just, like, I'm not sure how this show's going to feel, and then... But it's just... It looks like...
This one's in St. Louis, so hopefully, you know, if the fans just went if the fans just went and watched their St. Louis Blues get beat 8-3 by the Blackhawks, maybe they'll be feeling a little blue, if you will, you know?
Do you think there's, like, a 0.01% chance that, like, one day Randy Orton is just sitting in the crowd at one of these shows in St. Louis? Would they let him?
0.01? Yeah, I'll take that.
Like, because, like, I mean, especially if he's retired one day, yeah. You know? Just as, like, a celebrity.
I think Randy loves wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I think he goes to an AEW show.
And that would assume AEW's around for 20 plus years.
Especially if one of his friends is still around wrestling in the show, 100%. But I don't know. I mean, if Cody goes back.
Or his kids. Who knows? I mean, we're talking a long time.
If Cody goes back after Randy retires, which I think those are probably both relatively soon events. You know what I mean? Like, I think Cody
will
probably.
All roads lead home live from Atlanta, Georgia, 2031.
Correct. When that happens, I think Randy Orton could be in the crowd for that, as well as a few other WWE alums. I'd be super down. Like Undertaker, maybe. You know? I'm down. How is Undertaker not showing up at a WWE? I know he's a WWE guy.
You know why.
And Legends contract.
You know why.
But he could totally show up at a show.
You know, Tornado Why? Trios match, Hurt Syndicate versus The Demand. Who you got in the finale, if you will?
Is it the finale? So Hurt Syndicate won the street fight. They pinned them for the first time ever in AEW. Is this the swan song for the Hurt Syndicate? Are they just bye-bye after this? Is Bon Voyage?
I don't know.
Probably not. I mean, they were fucking rumors.
I think,
like,
these guys are good enough.
Ago.
You can do anything with them. Like, the way that they shoot their segments.
Wins this match. Like, they're no, both,
but I'm,
like,
I'm just meaning in specifically in how they shoot their segments. I feel like championship gold, winning, losing, it really, it's not going to affect them that much because they have such a, like, a complete gimmick.
What does the team that wins this go to next? Another story, or do they go to the titles?
You're doing a trios match at the pay-per-view where the trios champions are not there, it has to be for the trios titles. And if it's not, I'm declaring that title dead.
It might be dead.
I will not care about it anymore.
Yeah,
not
it might
to be, like,
it might
completely
be there.
Hyperbolic, but I'm just being honest.
Nah, you might be right. Dude, when you explained the way that, like, the last year of the title has been, like, nothing reigns. You have to go back to a reign that ended in injury to even, like, get to one that people cared about. That's
the patriarchy never got there, and that we were enjoying that for what it was worth. It was very short, but we were enjoying it. But it was still, like, treading water a little bit. Felt weird that they were champions. So I don't know. I'm going with the Demand. I know I shouldn't, but
yeah, I'll agree with that, I guess.
K tag team match, Young Bucks versus Jurassic Express.
Jurassic Express all the way, buddy.
Agreed.
Get Jack Harry that
money.
Get Luchasaurus that fucking... Get some of those medical bills paid off. Jesus.
No kidding. Let's go. And you know what? This could be a shout out for Luchasaurus for not winning Big Brother. Here's your Big Brother win, buddy. We got you. We talked about the other tag match. Kyle Fletcher defends against Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, I'm going to go bold here, dude. I know you're going to completely disagree with this. I think Mark Briscoe might win this.
78-day title reign going into this?
Because I think Kyle might be going after Hangman again. I don't know if he's going to win, but I think that's
it
where...
It does feel like an opportune time if you wanted for Briscoe.
You
want to
elevate him
it.
Up to the world title? I think this is the time to do it. You're running it back. What's the next pay-per-view? Full Gear? Is that it? Yeah. And then the end of the year can
but,
be
here's
where
what I'm
you
gonna
want
say.
To be. And the end of the year, I know who he's facing if he's available, buddy. It'd be fucking Swerve. It's got to be. How do you else do you end a year? Manager champion, unless it's Swerve, and a great holdover to get there is Kyle Fletcher.
It feels like they're still running through the hits a little bit with Fletcher, so I'm gonna lean towards Fletcher retaining. I don't think it's happening to Briscoe. I just don't see it.
I mean, Mark Briscoe, this to me is the title he's going to win if he's going to win any titles anytime soon. So, yeah. I think he's been teetering on it for a little while. It's just, I don't think any of us think he's winning it off Kyle, like you just said. But, I mean, if we want to pull the ripcord and parachute him straight into the world title division, this is the way you do it. So, you know.
Yep. Would be interesante. All right. I quit match. John Moxley versus Darby Allin.
Can I be honest with you? Is there a scenario where this match just is the last match on the show and like it just never ends and we're still talking about it going on like a week from now? Like,
that's a potential. The crowd would boo the shit out of it. But there's potential.
I mean, how does this match end?
I mean,
Darby has to win, right? Right?
Right? Wow. I line with that because we've seen Moxley say I quit once before, right? He was getting choked out.
But does that make him want to not do it? Does that make him double down harder this time, right?
How do you get Darby to quit?
I don't think Darby has that in him, but also
I
don't...
Is it literally going to be putting him in the body bag and... A 10 count happens? Would that count as an I quit?
No. I think specifically an I quit match is someone has to utter the words. So I think an incapacitation doesn't count, I don't believe. I could be wrong. I do think the ref could theoretically stop the match using wrestling rules, but I don't know how that applies in no DQ matches.
So I don't either.
Because my question is this. In a no DQ match, can the ref, if the ref sees you get hit with a kendo stick in a way that is... potentially harmful to you, like you take a bad fall after quote unquote, like you're knocked out for real, can they stop the match? Because you can stop a match for a knockout in wrestling. That is just in the rules. It's baked in. So
I think you can make the case very well for both guys. I think Moxley winning this would be very, very, very big and still showcasing the group's dominance. And again, there's no title on the line. So, you know, if people can boo, they can boo all they want, right? You don't really care. Darby winning. Getting Moxley to say I quit would solidify his attitude as he beat the guy. He made the ace quit. Do you have to do that with Darby now? Can you wait? I don't know.
Why does it always seem like whenever Darby's in a big time single story like this, we're always acting like he can just afford to lose it? Like, it does feel
because
like that's
that
an
good.
Attitude.
Because he's Jeff Hardy.
He is that good.
He's modern-day Jeff Hardy. He can lose. It does not matter.
But
it never
Jeff
affects
Hardy
him,
did
and it never
win
will.
Big matches sometimes.
Yes,
like,
and so does Darby. Darby won the retirement match with Sting. That was one of the biggest moments. He can beat anyone on any day. And I think Darby knows how to put himself in positions like this where it's so special that how does Darby say I quit?
Darby Allin versus Judo Master, who you got?
Right? But isn't this something you think Darby would ask himself? How could I possibly sell the audience that I would quit? What is something Moxley could do to me? And when I start thinking like that, and I start thinking on that level, I start thinking, maybe Moxley finds a weakness. Maybe there is something. I don't know. I think it's so tempting to have Moxley win this match, though, dude. I don't know. Are you leaning really heavy one way? Or are you?
Yeah, I'm leaning Darby until the match happens and I see what happens that makes me believe otherwise. Because I don't know, man. It's crazy.
This match is going to be fucking epic. How do you possibly get Darby to quit? And I think that question bugging me as much as it is, like in a good way, like getting the brain rolling, is something that's happening with Darby. And I think therefore John Moxley wins. I think he's going to show us how to make Darby quit. How do you make the guy that you've hit with a car, a guy that you've tossed in a body bag, how do you make the guy that climbed Mount Everest with that AEW flag quit?
I'm going to make a far future prediction here off of this. So we did the one with Hangman. banger, obviously. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now we're going to do the one with Darby. Going to be a banger. There's one Absolutely. More I Quit match this man needs to have before he retires in AEW. Eddie Kingston. Because it's the same vibe as those other two matches. Hangman doesn't have quit in him. Darby doesn't have quit in him. Eddie Kingston has never quit anything in his life, probably, that he wasn't, like, fired from, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to see Moxley? Do you think they'll interact again soon?
I hope so.
Or are we still a little bit of ways out?
I hope, probably a little ways out because of the
tag hook thing, right? I mean, but then again, maybe
if he starts... like Claudio or something, you know? I mean, but I don't know if that's the angle you want to go with that. I would much rather see them face singles.
I don't know if we can run Claudio and Eddie just again. We need to... I want that last time to hit.
He would so be down to fight Claudio and beat the shit out of that guy.
I think it's got one more time of actually really mattering, and I think I'm not ready for that yet.
Agreed. I want those to be – maybe that's how you get there. Maybe he fights Claudio again because he did mention Claudio's ass in the fucking promo or, you know, something or
just to completely tie it back to something earlier, what if once Claudio's exonerated from the Death Riders –
What I don't think somehow, he's going to be exonerated. Once he's kicked out, you mean?
What if somehow we get to a point where Claudio's searching for anyone and anything to help him, and Eddie's there?
Nah, Eddie's never going to... Nah, they're eternal rivals. Nope.
They want you to think...
No, they hate each other.
Eternal rivals become the best lovers, my friend. So, never know.
I'm not a fan of that trope, personally.
I'm going with Moxley, though. Fuck it. All right. Chris Statlander versus Tony Storm. Who you got?
I got Stat retaining.
Tony Storm all day. 5-time champ.
Wouldn't this be 6?
8? 9?
21?
Nah, Stat retains here, I think. I don't really know. I don't know. This feels the biggest gimme, but therefore is it not?
I mean, we thought for sure Mariah was going to retain against her, so.
Mariah was gone.
Literally. We thought so hard. Oh, man, this is the most no-brainer run-it-back match ever, and we needed to do it at this point in the year because the rest of the year she's going to face everybody else. Jamie Hayter will be coming back, which we didn't even know that wasn't going to be until next year anyway, but we were thinking in our heads.
We never got
you know?
Jamie Hayter, Mariah May. I'm still a little sad about it.
Whatever, you know? But and then she was gone. We were so wrong about it. She was out of the company within a couple of months. It was crazy. That was one of the longest we've ever been.
You can get lost in the sauce, but without that sauce, you were lost. And that's what happened. Tony Storm got lost. She found her way back. In center, she became Blake, bro. Mariah May is actually
dead. She beat her so badly, she became an entirely different wrestler.
She became Tony Storm 2, maybe. I don't know. More to be determined. All right, Adam Page, Samoa Joe. I got Joe becoming 2-time champ.
Of course. No, I mean, obviously, Hangman has to retain, right? Like, Jesus.
I think Hangman's going to be in NXT by next Tuesday.
Fuck off.
I just imagine. What the fuck are you talking about, man? Get the fucking guy off my fucking show.
Get this guy off the fucking show. He's lost
it. Fucking bloke away from me. I don't know the bloke, and I don't want to fucking know him. All right, I got Hangman, of course. I mean, are we going to do something with Hanger? God, I hope so.
Is this Joe versus MJF Joe, or is this like Joe versus a box of rocks? You know, like,
this is Joe versus Hook Joe. Okay. This is peak Samoa Joe incoming.
I hope so. I agree.
I want this motherfucker to sell like he's been beat down.
I want him to do I want him to, you know what? Hangman always hits that Orihara moonsault. I want him to do the walk away on that.
Let's go. Smokes are up.
Hangman Thank breaks you guys his for... ankle. Samoa Joe has to drag the corpse into the ring and then become champion.
I'm down. But that's it for us, guys. Thank you so much for checking out today's show. If this is your first time listening to us, if you enjoyed it, give that follow. And we do a weekly show. This week, we happen to be doing 3 shows because, well, we did our traditional show on Tuesday. We did next week's show today. And we have a pay-per-view this week, so we'll see you guys on Saturday, and then we won't see you for like 10 more days, so lock it in, I guess, if you will. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the predictions. I hope you come back and join us Saturday night, Sunday morning, whenever you're here. We upload quite literally, I don't know, it's traditionally an hour and 45 minutes after the pay-per-view that uploads in your feed. So again, if that's something you're interested in, check that out, and we will see you guys on the flip side.
Yourself. And I am a sports entertainer. Hee hee.